This is highly classified and very hush-hush, an NCIS Stargate Atlantis crossover fic written by Rage Proofrock, read by Raina Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13. "This is weird," DeNozzo is saying, hands in his pockets. Kate keeps staring. "Really weird." Abby tilts her head to the side, admiring, and grins. "Good weird," she purrs. Gibbs sometimes wonders what he did to deserve these morons, but then he looks through the one-way window at three naked and extremely uncomfortable-looking Marines and figures it could be worse. He could be their boss. At least his idiots are wearing pants, even if DeNozzo's are probably made by some fancy Italian. "This is stupid weird," he growls, and throws his now-empty coffee cup in the general direction of the trash can. The fact that it nails DeNozzo upside the head is incidental. "Talk to me, DeNozzo." "Right," Tony says, clutching at the coffee cup and clearing his throat. Sergeant Harry Norman, Staff Sergeant Mark Yeoman, and Corporal Edward Harris, found naked and extremely disoriented in a mall in Bethesda. DeNozzo leans into Kate, whispering conspiratorially. "They were in that Tivana you like." "Okay, there goes one errand for the weekend," Kate mutters. Gibbs rubs the bridge of his nose, and DeNozzo hurries to say, "Marines are found with an unidentified piece of tech. McGee is down in the lab with it as we speak, and no identification outside of their tags. Even weirder," DeNozzo produces a thin file folder with flourish, and Gibbs has to bite down on the smile that wants to creep across his mouth at that. "They're supposed to be stationed at a highly classified research base in, get this boss, Antarctica." "I knew the government was doing something up there," Abby exclaims. "I read this fantastic book, well, not a book, really kind of an online manifesto, about how there's this entire research facility in the ice up there, Gibbs, and how they've got secret alien technology." "They, Abby?" Gibbs asks, because if he lets her, she'll probably keep going, and then DeNozzo will encourage her, and the whole day will go to hell in a handbasket. Abby grins sheepishly. "Technically us." "Damn the man," DeNozzo whispers. "Why are they still naked?" Gibbs growls. He hasn't seen that much pasty, embarrassed man since boot camp, and he hasn't missed it. "Ducky's sending Jimmy up with some spare scrubs," Kate reassures him. "He should be up here any minute now." "And where the hell is their CO?" Gibbs says. "Have they even broken any laws?" "Mostly small potato stuff, public indecency, disturbing the peace, etc.," DeNozzo says, automatic. "But frankly, they seemed pretty baffled by how they ended up naked in a boutique tea shop, too. As for their CO boss, even weirder. But Kate can tell you, since she lost the coin toss." Kate makes an aggrieved face. Gibbs can't believe that she used to protect the president, was part of the most elite protective force in the world, and 2 years with Tony has reduced her judgment to making professional decisions based on spare change. Gibbs can't ever let Tony leave NCIS. The man should be qualified as a weapon of mass destruction. Their CO is a Major Evan Lorne, also stationed at said highly classified research base in Antarctica, but, and this was made abundantly clear to both Tony and I all three times he called, including the time Tony called pretending to be Admiral Mullen, Abby adds. Gibbs shoots DeNozzo a poisonous look. That there was no chance in any circle of hell we were going to get him on the phone, Kate continues. But before Gibbs can start raising his voice, Tony cuts in. However, the military commander of the entire Antarctic base is apparently on leave and stateside, and he's been dispatched to come collect his men. Oh, and the base commander? Is Air Force. Tony grins. 1,000,000 watts, enough to light Times Square for a decade. Gibbs rubs at his face. I hate Tuesdays. Gibbs actually hears Lieutenant Colonel John Shepard before he sees him, an irritated voice that snaps out every word asking, "Excuse me? Who hears Special Agent God? What kind of the hell name is Leroy Jethro Gibbs? He's got something that belongs to me." "Oh God," he hears DeNozzo whisper to Kate. "This is going to be the best train wreck ever." Gibbs throws a pen at him and stands up, clearing his throat. "That'd be me." everything they say about the Air Force is still true, Gibbs thinks, smirking, when he sees Shepard, red-faced and furious, a little on the soft side and stomping around the office in a Caltech t-shirt and cargos. It's like seeing McGee 10 years older and 30% less hair. Colonel Shepard, he says, trying for gracious. The mirrored looks on Donoso and Kate's face make him aware that he's fallen pretty deplorably short. The man's blue eyes go wide. Colonel? Oh, I'm not. You couldn't wait 5 minutes for me to park the car, somebody says, disgusted. And when Gibbs turns to spot stranger number two, it's to somebody who shares a barber with Donoso, dressed in jeans and a black t-shirt. If they gave this guy Lieutenant Byrd, the Air Force is in much worse shape than Gibbs had thought. You were taking forever, the first man argues, flustered, and God only knows what they've done with... Gibbs interrupts, saying, Your men are fine, Lieutenant, naked and a little embarrassed, but fine. The blonde makes a dismissive noise, flapping his hand. Please, my name is Dr. Rodney McKay. I'm the lead scientist on the Antarctic Project, and I could give a damn about the Marines. I'm here for the experimental technology they had with them. I, the dark-haired one says, wry, on the other hand, am here and giving a damn about the Marines. He gives Gibbs a bemused smile, extending a hand. Lieutenant Colonel John Shepard, I'm sorry about all this mess. Lieutenant Colonel wearing ratty jeans is, admittedly, pretty hilarious with his men, all three of whom, thankfully now wearing scrubs, nearly crap themselves when he walks into interrogation. Holy shit, sir, Yeoman says. We thought that Major Lorne would be coming? Shepard asks, wry. Yeah, me too. Turns out, the dubious pleasure of springing you three from NCIS fell on me during my leave. The trio wince in tandem, and Gibbs wonders if there isn't anything else to Colonel Ratty Jeans. Marines don't usually respect anyone unless they've earned it, and Gibbs can't imagine many jobs babysitting scientists crop up that many opportunities to do so. Sorry, sir, Harris says. We really don't know what happened. Shepard shrugs, helping himself to a free chair in the room and making himself comfortable, feet kicking up on the table. He's loose in the shoulders and unconcerned, and Gibbs thinks that if he had to call this guy his CO, he might die a little on the inside. Me? Shepard starts, too casual. I personally don't care. It was only killer breakers and California sun and sleeping, after all. All three Marines wince. Now McKay, Shepard continues, and the Marines pale. McKay was furious, went off on one of his very special screeds from Reagan all the way over here, about how he was going to kill you and send you to study sand or manage parish or hang out with the geologists. But me, Shepard smiles them all sweetly, me, I'm totally cool. Sir, they plead in perfect unison, just as the door to interrogation is flung open, and the furious McKay storms in, face bright red, clutching some sort of flashing remote control in his hands. Ew! He shrieks. Shepard clears his throat. Rodney? He says, and raises his brows in the direction of the one-way glass. Oh, for... McKay starts, and turns to the mirror, pulling another gizmo out of his pocket and dropping it onto the table before he turns back, waving his hands like a flight controller. Except he is perfectly mute doing it, and Gibbs can see his mouth moving. Donoso, Gibbs snarls, and in the background Tony's saying, It's not on our end, boss. Nothing's off, none of the mics are reading anything. It's like he sucked all the sound out of the room. And hey, why don't I just stop while I'm ahead here? Kate? That door was locked, she insists. Gibbs glares at her. Then how did he get in? Maybe he picked the lock? Real fast? Tony offers. And before Gibbs can reach over to slap him silly, he's saying, On it, boss! And out of the room, headed toward interrogation. On the other side, just as Tony opens the door, Shepard has neatly collected McKay's trinket from the table and gathered his three shamefaced and slightly ill-looking Marines, corralling a still-frowning McKay. And just as Tony opens his mouth, the noise suddenly switches back in, and time for Shepard to say, Sorry about that. A highly classified, very hush-hush. Oh, screw that, Gibbs growls. Apparently, he mutters, 1 hour and one conference call from the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the President later, it's highly classified and very hush-hush. Abby looks at McGee, who looks at Kate, who looks at DiNozzo, who's looking into the other end of the room where the three Marines are still cowering before a still-red McKay, who's being compelled to stay seated by Colonel Shepard, one hand firm on McKay's shoulders holding him down. Shepard's talking into his cell phone, smiling as he says, Yes, thanks, General O'Neill. Nope, no need to worry, but it's one of the hazards of a scientific expedition. Nope, we've got our own ride. Ronan's services won't be necessary. A pause. Although, he's actually a better driver than McKay. Hey! McKay snaps. This is still weird, Kate says. Tony nods. This is still very weird. Pouting, Abby says. Sadly, this is no longer naked weird. I watched a TV show like this, Tony says. What, military-themed porn? Kate mutters. Ha, but no, Tony retorts. I mean the shadowy government conspiracy and snazzy ultra-secret technology part, Kate. Not the nudity. It was called Wormhole Extreme and... Gibbs cups him upside the head. Right, Tony says. Thank you, boss. I hate Tuesdays, Gibbs says, and reaches for his coffee. The end.